Hello, Deathlings. I'm just popping in today to say I have a new book, Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs?, and to read some of it to you. No pressure to buy it, although it is available wherever books are sold. But honestly, telling your library or your local librarian to get it is just as good and helpful. If you're a podcast listener, you might prefer it on audiobook, or books on tape, as my mom used to call them when I was younger, which I recorded with Recorded Books. Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? All questions authentically sourced from 100% free-range organic children. When I die, will my cat eat my eyeballs? No, your cat won't eat your eyeballs. Not right away, at least. Don't worry, Snickers McMuffin hasn't been biding his time, glaring at you from behind the couch, waiting for you to take your last breath to be all, "Spartans, tonight we dine in hell!" For hours, even days after your death, Snickers will expect you to rise from the dead and fill his normal food bowl with his normal food. He won't be diving straight for the human flesh. But a cat has gotta eat, and you are the person who feeds him. This is the cat-human compact. Death doesn't free you from performing your contractual obligations. If you have a heart attack in your living room and no one finds you before you miss your coffee date with Sheila next Thursday, a hungry and impatient Snickers McMuffin may abandon his empty food bowl and come to check out what your corpse has to offer. Cats tend to consume human parts that are soft and exposed, like the face and neck, with special focus on the mouth and nose. Don't rule out some chomps on the eyeballs, but Snickers is more likely to go for the softer, easier access choices. Think eyelids, lips, or tongue. "Why would my beloved do that?" you ask. Let's keep in mind that as much as you adore your domesticated meowkins, that sucker is an opportunistic killer that shares 95.6% of its DNA with lions. Cats, in the United States alone, slaughter up to 3.7 billion birds every year. If you count other cute little mammals like mice, rabbits, and voles, that death toll might rise up to 20 billion. This is an abject massacre, a bloodbath of adorable forest creatures perpetuated by our feline overlords. Mr. Cuddlesworth is a sweetheart, you say? He watches TV with me? No, ma'am. Mr. Cuddlesworth is a predator. The good news, for your dead body, is that some pets with slithery, sinister reputations might not have the capacity or interest to eat their owners. Snakes and lizards, for example, won't eat you post-mortem, unless you happen to own a full-grown Komodo dragon. But that's the end of the good news. Your dog will totally eat you. "Oh no," you say, "not man's best friend." Oh yes, Fifi Fluff will attack your corpse without remorse. There are cases where forensic experts first suspect a violent murder has occurred, only to discover that the damage was Miss Fluff attacking the dead body post-mortem. Your dog might not nip and tear at you because she's starving, however. More likely, Fifi Fluff will be attempting to wake you up. Something has happened to her human. She's probably anxious and tense. In this situation, a dog might nibble the lips off her owner, just like you bite your nails or refresh your social media feed. We all have our anxiety busters. One very sad case involved a woman in her 40s who was known to be an alcoholic. Often when she was intoxicated and unconscious, her red setter would lick her face and bite her legs to try to rouse her. After she died, flesh was found missing from her nose and mouth. The setter had tried to rouse her human again and again with increasing force, but couldn't wake her. Forensic case studies. Did you know that forensic veterinarian is a job? Tend to focus on the destruction patterns of larger dogs. For example, the German Shepherd that took out both his owner's eyes, or the Husky that ate her owner's toes. But the size of the dog doesn't matter when it comes to post-mortem mutilation. Take the story of Rumpelstiltskin, the Chihuahua. His new owner posted a picture on a message board to show him off and added some bonus info, which was that his old owner was dead for a considerable time before anyone noticed and he did eat his human to stay alive. Rumpelstiltskin sounds like a bold little survivalist to me. Somehow, a dog being anxious and overwhelmed makes us feel better about this whole corpse-eating thing. We develop bonds with our pets. We want them to be upset when we die, not licking their chops. But why do we have that expectation? Our pets eat dead animals, just like humans eat dead animals. Okay, fine, not you, vegetarians. Many wild animals will also scavenge a corpse. Even some of the creatures we think of as the most skilled predators, lions, wolves, bears, will happily chow down if they encounter a dead animal in their territory, especially if they're starving. Food is food, and you're dead. Let them enjoy their meal and go about their lives, now with a slightly macabre pedigree. Viva Rumpelstiltskin! Question 2. What would happen if you swallowed a bag of popcorn before you died and were cremated? I have a sneaking suspicion you asked this question because of a meme that's been everywhere over the last few years. It's a picture of a bag of movie popcorn with the words, "Right before I die, I'm gonna swallow a bag of popcorn kernels. It will make the cremation epic." I get it. You want to be unique, to stand out, even when you're dead. You're a whimsical prankster, Tim. It would just be so Tim to swallow popcorn kernels before you die. That way, when you're put in the cremation machine, the popcorn kernels will pop like fireworks and come pouring out of your corpse, and the crematory operator will leap away in shock before admitting, "Ah, oh, that was so Tim. You sure got me, Tim." Listen, not gonna work, Tim. For many reasons. First of all, you think you're going to be on your deathbed, weak, organs failing, not having eaten solid food for weeks, and all of a sudden you're going to be in the mood to smuggle a bag of popcorn kernels into the nursing home and swallow what amounts to a bowl full of tiny marbles? "Sorry, honey. As much as I want to whisper my final I love you as I take my last breath, first I have to gobble down this bag of pop secret." Probably not. Even if you did manage to swallow a whole bag of popcorn, are you clear on how a cremation machine works? This meme has become popular because most people don't know what a crematory looks like, sounds like, or how the process goes. In order for the popcorn prank to work, you have to believe that Tim's body would burst open mid-cremation, releasing all these popcorn kernels. Also, that a single bag of microwave popcorn is going to create waves and waves of popcorn, like when pranksters put soap into decorative fountains at high schools and suds overflow into the courtyard. By my calculations, you'd need to swallow at least a gallon and a half of unpopped kernels to create an impressive wave once popped. The other part of the joke is that this deafening popping noise would shock the crematory operator into thinking the crematory is under attack. Here are two reasons that will never happen. There are countless reasons it will never happen, but let's focus on these two. One, cremations take place in 14-ton machines with huge burners and combustion chambers and a thick metal door that seals the dead body inside the brick chamber. The cremation machine is loud, real loud. Even if you had 47 bags of popcorn in there with you, you'd never be able to hear them popping from the outside. Two, more importantly, even if you could hear the popcorn popping, it doesn't matter because it's not gonna pop. What's the main complaint everyone has about popcorn? All the unpopped and burnt kernels at the bottom. Conditions have to be ideal to pop a delicious bowl of popcorn. The kernels have to be just the right amount of dry, which they definitely would not be if they had been hanging out digesting in your stomach, a moist, compressed environment. Researchers, engineers using thermodynamic analysis, I'm serious, discovered that the ideal temperature for popping popcorn is 356 degrees Fahrenheit. If you're popping kernels in oil on the stove, the oil should be just over 400 degrees. If the temperature creeps up much higher, the popcorn will burn before it has the chance to pop. An average temperature for a cremation machine is 1700 degrees Fahrenheit. That's more than three times the temperature popcorn should be popped at. Plus, a column of flame shoots down from the ceiling and hits the chest and stomach. Those kernels would just blacken and disappear without a trace, like the other soft tissue in your body. I don't feel bad about ruining your prank here, Tim, because why were you trying to trick the crematory operator in the first place? As someone who worked as a crematory operator in my 20s, I can tell you it's a hard job. It's dirty, hot, and you're hanging out with dead bodies and weeping families all day. The crematory operator doesn't need your tomfoolery, Tim. But if you're dead set on creating explosions that a crematory operator would hear and would definitely be freaked out by, don't leave unpopped popcorn in your body. Instead, try leaving a pacemaker in your body. Note, I 1000% do not recommend doing this. I'm making a joke. See, I can make jokes too, Tim. A pacemaker helps living people control their heartbeats, speeding up the heart if needed, slowing the heart down if needed. It's a cute little thing, the size of a small cookie, that's basically a battery, generator, and some wires implanted, through surgery, into the body. It can save your life if your heart is misfiring. But if a pacemaker is not removed from a dead body before the cremation, it can turn into a tiny bomb. Before I put a dead body into a cremation machine, not only do I check the paperwork to see if the person had a pacemaker, I also poke around a bit in the area above the heart. If there is a pacemaker, it has to be cut out of the body. Don't worry, the person is dead, they don't mind. Pacemakers aren't exactly rare, either. Over 700,000 people a year get them. So it's not surprising that some pacemakers slip through and slide into the machine with the body. If that happens, the very high heat can cause a flammable chemical reaction that makes the pacemaker burst. All the energy in the battery, the energy that's supposed to power the pacemaker for years, bam, it gets released in 1 second. There's an explosion which can terrify or maim the crematory operator, especially if they happen to be peeking into the machine to check on the cremation at the time. The explosion can also break the door of the machine or damage the bricks inside. I hope you never need a pacemaker, Tim, but I also hope your post-mortem pranks are a little tamer. Maybe schedule a tweet to go out 2 weeks after you die, one that says, "Every step you take, I'll be watching you." That'll get them. Thank you, everyone. Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Available everywhere. Books are sold on September 10th. Thank you to Paul Tavener at Big City Recording Studios. He has two different color eyes. It's really cool. We'll see you soon.